Hello, everyone. This is Caleb Osborne with episode number 58 of the Magnify Him Together podcast. This week, we get to spend part two of our Discipleship for Disciples series looking at the disciple Andrew. Now, Andrew only plays an active part in four events during the ministry of Christ, at least as far as is recorded in Scripture. But looking at what is recorded about him, several key themes are emphasized, and we're going to take a look at those themes in those four events in this episode. Chronologically, Andrew is the first of the 12 apostles to come to Jesus, and this meeting is recorded in John chapter 1. I'm going to read for you John chapter 1, verses 35 to 37. Again, the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. We can find out a few verses later that one of these two disciples of John, who heard him say, "Behold the Lamb of God," and then follow Jesus, was Andrew. And we find out here that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist before he was a disciple of Jesus. So when John the Baptist announces that Jesus is the Lamb of God, Andrew and this other disciple immediately leave Jesus and they begin to follow after Andrew. The next few verses tell us that when Jesus saw these two men following, Jesus turns and asks, "What are you seeking?" He wanted to know what Andrew and this other disciple were looking for. They reply, "Master, where dwellest thou?" His answer is initially somewhat cryptic, but is full of a meaning that would become clear as his ministry progressed. He said, "Come and see." This invitation from Jesus to come and see becomes the trademark call of Jesus throughout his ministry and down through the ages. It's the call that we've been invited to as well. And it becomes the thing that characterizes everything we learn about Andrew. For now, though, Andrew and this other disciple follow Jesus to the place where he was dwelling and stay with him that day and for several days to come as they journey back up to Galilee. But before he goes very far with Jesus, Andrew has something that he has to do. In verse 41, we read that Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. So upon meeting Jesus, when Andrew is convinced that yes, this Jesus who they are following and talking to really is the promised Messiah, as soon as he realizes that, he knows he cannot keep such good news to himself. He runs to go and find his brother. I like to imagine the scene as Andrew tells Jesus he'll be right back, and then he goes and searches for his brother. When he finally sees him, he waves his arms and he's yelling, "Simon, Simon, we found the Messiah. He's here. I just talked to him." And Andrew's excitement is clearly contagious because we read in the next verse, "And he brought him to Jesus." And that phrase, "he brought him to Jesus," really foreshadows Andrew's mission. Every event that we see him in the Gospels revolves around the theme of bringing people to Jesus. In fact, the next time Andrew comes up in the Gospels, chronologically, it is on the shores of Galilee when Jesus calls Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John from their fishing nets to follow him. We'll take up the story in Mark 1, verse 14, where we find out that at the time when John the Baptist had been put in prison, Jesus had begun to move throughout Galilee, preaching that the kingdom was coming and that people should repent and believe the gospel. And then in verse 16 we read, "Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." So, at some point, the disciples who had been following Jesus in John 1 after his baptism had gone back to their jobs and their homes in Galilee. But now, Jesus comes to them again, and this time he's calling for them to make a permanent decision. It was time for them to leave their old lives behind and enter into a new profession. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Come ye after me," or as the other accounts say, "Follow me." And of course, that is an echo of the first time Jesus met Andrew, when they follow him and they ask him where he dwells, and he says, "Come and see." Well, in addition to telling them to come and follow, you'll recall that Jesus also told Andrew and the others that they were about to undertake a career change. They would still be fishing, but not for fish. Now they would be catching men for the kingdom in the gospel net. Now, as we said last week, one of the primary purposes of the disciples was to help Jesus in the task of spreading the gospel and bringing people into the hope of Israel. And though it wouldn't be until after Jesus' death and resurrection that they fully embraced this role, their training or their apprenticeship for this task of preaching was now beginning. But out of all the disciples, it seems to be that Andrew is the one who starts to grasp the significance of his mission of catching men for Christ the earliest. After all, as we saw in John 1, the very first thing that Andrew did on meeting Jesus was to go and bring his first convert, Simon Peter, his brother, to join him in following Jesus. Well, the next time we read of Andrew playing a part in the gospel records is at the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, which is recorded in all four gospels. Mark 6 tells us that the apostles were returning with great excitement from a preaching mission, only to find Jesus mourning the recent death of John the Baptist. Jesus takes them away into a desert place, hoping for a time alone to rest and pray and grieve. But the multitudes follow Jesus into the wilderness and crowd around him to hear him teach. When the evening draws near, after hours and hours of Jesus ministering to these multitudes, the disciples advise Jesus to send the people away so they can find food and lodging because it's getting dark. Jesus replies that they should not send the multitude away. He said there's no need for them to depart, and he tells the disciples to supply them with food. Well, of course, the disciples, as far as they know, have no way of feeding so many people, and they tell Jesus as much, to which he responds, "How many loaves have ye?" So the disciples make a search, and out of all the disciples looking for food, John 6 tells us that it is Andrew who tells Jesus, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" So Andrew has found a young boy who has a lunch with him, but Andrew can't see how such a small amount of food could possibly help. Nevertheless, to his credit, he tells Jesus about this, and in Matthew 14, we read that Jesus replies, "Bring them hither to me." So at Jesus' command, Andrew brings the boy and his lunch to Jesus. And of course, you know the story, what Jesus does with that small bit of food. And of course, one of the lessons of that miracle is that we are never supposed to underestimate the power of your 5 loaves and 2 fishes. God uses simple things to do the miraculous. But interestingly, when he multiplies the food, Jesus instructs the disciples to hand it out. He makes the disciples make everyone sit down. He makes the disciples give out the loaves and the fish. You see, he's making them become the hosts to the people whom they had tried to send away. He's trying to teach his disciples a very important lesson. That lesson is that Jesus will not send away those who come to him. In fact, a little while later in the same context, in John 6, verse 37 and verse 40, Jesus comments on this key principle. He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So what does Jesus say here? He says that if you come to him, you won't be cast out. And if when you come, you see the Son and believe on him, then you'll receive eternal life. So he said, come and you won't be cast out, and if you see the Son and believe, you'll have eternal life. The first time Jesus spoke to Andrew, if you remember at the beginning of this episode, do you recall what Jesus told Andrew? He said, come and see. And so these two ideas come up again in this passage in the context of feeding the 5,000. And these ideas come together in our final passage where Andrew shows up, which is John chapter 12. For a bit of context of John chapter 12, in the early parts of the chapter, the city of Jerusalem has welcomed Jesus with open arms as their king in the triumphal entry, excited about the recent news of the resurrection of Lazarus and hoping that Jesus is going to start to bring about the kingdom of Israel again in revolution against the Romans. And as a result, the Jewish rulers are starting to get nervous. And in verse 19 of John chapter 12, the Pharisees say in exasperation, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." They are very worried about the the popularity of Jesus. In the next verse, this comes even more true, because we read that a group of Greeks approach Philip, the apostle, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, Philip is not quite sure what to do with this request. After all, everyone in Jerusalem wanted to see Jesus, and this particular group were Gentiles. And Jesus has already said that he came to seek and to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Philip is not sure whether or not he should bring this request to Jesus. So he goes to Andrew, and he asks Andrew what he thinks. But Andrew clearly remembers the lesson of the feeding of the 5,000, that Jesus will not cast out those who come to him. And so together, Andrew and Philip bring these Greeks to Jesus. So once again, Andrew is involved in helping people who want to see Jesus come to Jesus. Remember, the Greek said, "We would see Jesus." And so he and Philip bring these Greeks to Jesus. But Jesus' response when Andrew and Philip show up with the Greeks who want to see him is highly significant. When he hears that the Greeks want to see him, he says, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Now, if you're familiar with the book of John, Jesus has been saying all throughout the book, ever since chapter 2, that the hour is not yet come. And he's talking, of course, about the hour of his trial and death. But when he hears from Andrew and Philip that the Gentiles, these Greeks from the ends of the earth, have come to see him, he takes it as a signal that at last his hour has come. Now is the time. Now, why would he come to that conclusion? Well, Jesus goes on to discuss his coming suffering, explaining that in order for him to give life, he was going to have to die. And though it would be a terrible ordeal, he's resolved to go through with it to glorify God's name. And then in verse 32, he explains the purpose of his death, what he's hoping to achieve in his death. So John 12, verse 32 reads, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." See, Jesus sees all these people in Jerusalem flocking to him because they want to see a miracle, or because they're hoping that he's going to set up the kingdom of God on earth now. But Jesus knew that it would only be when he was lifted up on the cross, it was only then that truly all men were going to come to Jesus. And this, of course, lines up perfectly with that passage we read in John 6 after the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus said that he will not cast out anyone who comes to him, because whoever sees the Son and believes on him would have eternal life. Well, what are the people supposed to see when they come to Jesus when he's lifted up on the cross? Well, they were supposed to see the Son of Man lifted up on the cross, declaring the righteousness of God and the only way whereby man could be saved, which is the crucifixion of the flesh and the pouring out of life in obedience and service to God. And he was hoping that when he died on the cross and when he drew all men to him, that people would see that. They would see the salvation of God. But let's get back to Andrew. Why do you think he knew that Jesus would want him to bring the Greeks to him? Well, if you think about it, Andrew was way ahead of the other disciples on this topic. As we already saw, Philip is unsure of whether or not he should bring the Greeks to Jesus. And in another occasion, James and John wanted to call down fire on Samaritans. And even his own brother Peter was still struggling to bring the gospel to Gentiles years after their resurrection in the story of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. But Andrew, before Christ even dies, knows that Jesus would welcome him bringing Greeks to him. How did he have this perspective? Well, if you remember at the beginning, we mentioned that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist before he became a disciple of Jesus. And that's interesting because John the Baptist's message was unique among the Jews because it was indiscriminate and universal. He spoke to everyone. His message wasn't just for one group. It was for anyone who would listen. He spoke to rulers and common people. He spoke to tax collectors. He spoke to soldiers, Jews and Gentiles. He didn't care who you were, where you were from, or what your past was. As far as John the Baptist was concerned, the call to repentance applied equally to everyone because everyone was equally in need of forgiveness and repentance. But the openness of John's call was only a foretaste of how wide the call of Jesus would reach. As we just saw in John 12, Jesus says that when he's lifted up, all men would come to him. In fact, if you were to look through the preaching of John the Baptist, which we read about in Luke chapter 3, we're told that John's job as he was preaching was to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the way for Jesus, to raise up the valleys, to level the mountains, to make straight the crooked, and to even out the rough places, so that all flesh could see the salvation of God. That's what John's job was. He was preparing the people so that all flesh could see the salvation of God. And when was that fulfilled? When did all flesh see the salvation of God? Well, it was fulfilled when Jesus was on the cross. That was when all men would be drawn to Jesus and all flesh would see in full display the salvation of Yahweh. Because, of course, if you know what Jesus' name means, it's the Greek version of Joshua, which means Yah saves. Yahweh saves. And so when you saw Jesus hanging on the cross, you saw this is how God is going to save people. And so John, in his mission, was preparing for that work. He was preparing for men, for all men, to see the salvation of God. He was making it possible for all men everywhere to repent. And that's why he spoke to everyone, not just to Jews, not just to the privileged, not just to those who thought they were holy. He spoke to everyone. And this message seems to have really stuck with Andrew, who was first a disciple of John and then a disciple of Jesus. So that whenever there was an opportunity to bring someone to Christ, Andrew was on it. And because he was so focused on bringing people to Jesus, he was so focused on bringing the invitation for repentance and forgiveness and discipleship to anyone who would listen. And if that was how focused Andrew was on bringing people to Jesus during Jesus' ministry, it's fun to imagine what kind of a force for spreading the gospel he must have been after Christ's ascension in the book of Acts, when they went out into all the world to preach the gospel and to bring all men everywhere to repentance. In conclusion then, what can we learn from Andrew? Well, we watched Andrew learn that Jesus will not cast out those who come to him, because if a person comes to see Jesus and believes, that person can be saved. And we also saw how that understanding motivated Andrew to do whatever he could to bring people to Jesus. We need to be like Andrew. He helped his brother find his Messiah. He helped a young lad contribute to Jesus' work, and he helped Gentiles see God's salvation. Now, a huge part of our responsibility as disciples is to do the same thing. And we have the same opportunities. Like Andrew, we can help bring our family members closer to Jesus and our friends. He brought a young boy to Jesus. Well, we can help the children and those younger than us to come closer to Jesus, to learn about him and to learn how they can serve him. We can also help strangers see the truth about God's salvation in Jesus. We can preach. We can talk to those of our coworkers. Our fellow students at college or school, and all those who we come into contact with. We need to be focused on bringing people to Jesus. Like we said last week, each week we're going to end our episodes with a lesson about Jesus, something that we learn about Jesus from each of the disciples. And so from Andrew, we're going to learn this principle, that Jesus wants everyone to come to him. That includes you, and it includes everyone in your life. So this week, let's try to draw a little closer to Jesus, to come to him, to follow him. And as we do that, let's also try to bring a few others closer to Jesus this week. Come back next week for Discipleship for Disciples Part 3, when we'll take a look at a friend of Andrew's, the disciple Philip.